If you like watching TV at night, perhaps you have seen some of the TV shows that are entitled CSI, Crime Scene Investigation. Here is where the investigators have to look at all the fine details of the evidence at the crime scene, trying to determine what happened and who did it. Of course, one of the main areas of evidence that they look for are the fingerprints, because fingerprints are very unique, right? We're told no two fingerprints are alike. And by finding some fingerprints, hopefully they're able to match them up to fingerprints they have in the database, and then they can find somebody who was there, maybe even the criminal himself. And so those fingerprints just tell us something about the person. Well, this morning, we want to look at the fingerprints of God and see what those fingerprints tell us about Him and how He has touched our lives. The series of messages that we have this month have been entitled A New Beginning. Based on the readings that we're doing in our chronological Bible, we are seeing some times when there are new beginnings, new days in people's lives. The last couple of weeks, we finished reading the Old Testament, and we saw how God's people who had been living in captivity were now released to go back to their homeland of Judah and their capital city of Jerusalem, and to rebuild it and to rebuild their lives, have their lives start over, so to speak. With this week, on Tuesday, we start reading the New Testament. Now, let me just encourage you. If you have been doing the reading and maybe stopped, or maybe you haven't done it at all with us, I'm encouraging you now to start with us. For the next 2.5 months, give yourself an early Christmas present and read through the New Testament with the rest of your fellow believers here at church. I'd encourage you to get one of those chronological Bibles because it's all laid out very neatly. We have some in our bookstore. You can pick them up this morning if you'd like. But wouldn't it be great if everybody in the church was reading the same thing from the New Testament every day? Wow, that's a new beginning. But what we're going to be reading about is a new beginning as we hear how the Savior came into the world and touched the lives of people. It was a new day. We are going to hear what a blessing it was that God Himself came into this world and brought blessings to the people. Today in particular, we're going to look at something that will leave, so to speak, the fingerprint of God on our lives. We're going to look at the words of Zechariah. He was the father of John the Baptist. Now, Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth were old at this time when we read about them, and they did not have any children. That was a disgrace in the community, that was a disappointment to them. And then lo and behold, the angel of the Lord came and told them that they would have a child, and that this child would be the forerunner of the Savior. And sure enough, Elizabeth became pregnant, and in her old age she gave birth to a son. And then Zechariah breaks out in these words of proclamation, but it's interesting what his words focus on. They aren't words of joy over the fact now that he's a daddy and has a son, but rather he was rejoicing over God's salvation. And in those words, we can see the fingerprint of God on our life. Listen to these words. They're recorded in Luke chapter 1. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to help his people and redeem them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, now speaking of his own son, John, will be called a prophet of the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. When those crime scene investigators get on the scene, one of the things they're going to look for is places where they could find fingerprints. And then when they find those fingerprints, they have to look at the detail of those prints. Now, I don't know much about fingerprints, but I know that there are certain patterns that they look for, circles and arches and bent arches and so forth. And all of those give them the unique perspective of that individual who was there. Could there be anything more unique than the Son of God becoming the Son of Man? Than God himself coming into this world and living among us and touching us? As I look at those words of Zechariah, as he expresses that joy over God coming into the world, I can see two fingerprints, so to speak. Two things that stand out about our God that make him unique and that shows me how he has touched me in my life. The first thing that stands out was when he was talking about the compassion of God. He used the word mercy and tender mercy several times. In the Greek, that word is used to describe an inner moving that comes from deep within somebody. That's the kind of moving, that's the kind of emotion, that's the kind of mercy that God had for us. Zechariah said he could see it, how God came with his mercy there during their struggles. Now, maybe Zechariah was thinking of his own struggle, the disgrace, the disappointment he and his wife were feeling because they didn't have a child. But no doubt he was also thinking about the conditions of his fellow countrymen, how they were living under the oppression of the Roman government. Perhaps he was thinking back in Israel's history to the very things we have been reading the past few months, how Israel was oppressed continually by other nations. And maybe that's what he was thinking about when he said, God has come to show his compassion during our struggles. But when you look at his words, you realize that the struggles he was talking about was just not the day-to-day struggles either. He was talking about the spiritual struggles that they had, because he knew why they were oppressed by other nations. It was because of their sin, their giving in to temptation. Zechariah knew what it's like, just like for you and me, when we feel that push from our sinful nature to do something that we know we shouldn't do. He knew what it was like to be pulled by the world around him to now reflect the language and the attitudes and the actions of others that were not God-pleasing. Zechariah knew what it was like to have doubts about God's word and his will. And he knew that in those struggles, God was coming with his compassion. And Jesus did come. Jesus did come into this world to experience life with all of its hardships like you and I experience. He experienced all those troubles that we experience. He experienced hatred and oppression from people. He even experienced the spiritual struggles. He had the devil tempting him to turn away from God. So Jesus understands our struggles. Zechariah, no doubt, was also talking about the suffering they were going through, whether it was that physical oppression, living under the Roman government, or any of the other physical sufferings that they had had. Jesus saw those sufferings firsthand when he came. He saw people who were confused, people who were suffering. He saw the disease, the hunger, the death, the sorrow. Jesus himself experienced those things. He was hungry. He went through physical pain, excruciating pain on the cross. He knew what it was like to be betrayed by others. He knew what it was like to be hated. He has compassion for us in our sufferings. But above all, Zechariah noted how God came in his compassion because of our sin. He said he had come to rescue us from our enemies, and by that he didn't just mean those opposing nations, but from our own sin nature, from sin itself, from death and from the devil, because he talks about him coming to redeem us, to rescue us from those things. He pictured it as though our sin were a huge debt that was just continually mounting up, kind of like our national debt, huh? Where by the billions of dollars, we just keep adding more and more to that debt, and we don't seem to be able to stop it. That's the same thing that goes on in our lives with sin. Our debt of sin to God keeps mounting and mounting, and there is nothing we can do about it. We just keep adding more and more to it. But God, in his compassion, was moved to come and to rescue us from that sin and its resulting death. He came, Zechariah said, to redeem us, to buy us back, to bail us out from that debt with his own grace, with himself. And what that shows us then is a second fingerprint of God in our life, and that is his commitment. When I read the words before of Zechariah, he said, "Our Lord has come." And in the Old King James Version, it says, "He has visited us." And it makes it sound as if, you know, Jesus came to stay for a while, you know, have something to eat, be entertained, and then say bye and go. You know, like people come when they visit us. But that word in the Greek really meant, and that's why I added in our Bible translation, he came to help. He came to do something. As Zechariah is expressing, he came with his support, not only to live with us, but to live for us. That commitment, he said, was demonstrated by the fact that God had promised to do this long ago, all the way back into the days of Abraham. Even though God's people over the years had been so unfaithful to him, both in their obedience and in their belief, God never once failed to keep his promise. He never turned back from it. And now he sends the Savior. It's a new day, a new beginning. And Zechariah says, here's the commitment of God to be with us and to help us in our struggles, because he's there with his support to give us what we need. And what did we need? It wasn't just that there was a better form of government. Jesus didn't come to deal with that. It wasn't come to make the social system or the economy work better. He didn't come to deal with that. He came to deal with our sins, to deal with the big enemies in our life, death and the devil. And that was his commitment. How could he do that? Because he came also with his strength. Zechariah uses language that we wouldn't necessarily use today. He said, he has raised up a horn of salvation. They would use the picture of a horn on an animal to symbolize somebody's strength, their might to do something. And so he said that God has come with his horn, with his might, to accomplish what we can't do. He came with his grace, unconditional love, a love that has no standards that has to be met. He came with his holiness to fight temptation and to establish perfect obedience for all who would believe in him. That was his strength. And the purpose he came with that was to come with his salvation, to rescue us from those terrible desires, the terrible situation, that dire situation we were in, that we could not get ourselves out of. As Zechariah puts it, to give us the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of sin. You see, there he was. He was playing crime scene investigator. He found what the crime was: sin. And he saw the victim, this Lamb of God. But in there, he sees the solution. Because this was God's way of dealing with our sin. To take all of the sins of the world and to put them on Jesus. And to turn his wrath against Jesus so that he would not punish us. That was the solution. And that's the new day, the new beginning that Zechariah is singing about here. Jesus didn't come to make this world perfect. He came to do something better. He came to make you and me perfect with the righteousness and the forgiveness of Jesus so that we could live in the world that is only perfect, which is heaven. Those are the fingerprints of God as we see that he left when he touched humanity, his compassion and his commitment. Do you see them in your life? Just take a look. They're there. Think of the worst situation you have ever been in. Or think of the guilt once that you felt over failures in your life, over sin. And realize God's compassion was there to help you, to meet your every need. He was there with his grace to love you and pick you up again. He was there with his strength to help you fight against temptation. He was there with his forgiveness to tell you, you're forgiven and you're right with me. He's there with his compassion then to guide and to show us that way of peace with God in Jesus. Just look at your life. It's there. And so with Zechariah, you can say too, there is a new beginning in life. That's what he meant when he said, this is a day where the sun is rising to shine its light on us. It's a new day. What I find interesting is this phrase he uses to talk about the rising of the sun was a phrase that the last prophet in the Old Testament used when Malachi talked about the Son of Righteousness coming with healing in its wings. And he used the word sun, S-U-N. Some people say there's a period of 400 years of silence between the Old Testament and the New Testament. There's no silence there. As this phrase shows us, God's promises kept ringing loud and clear. And Zechariah now is simply echoing what God had promised before. It's a new day, a new beginning. God is here. Rejoice in your salvation. Look at your life and see his compassion and his commitment. It's there every day. So every day for us, it's a day to rejoice. It doesn't matter what the stock market is doing. It doesn't matter what your employer is saying. It doesn't matter what's happening in the community. It's a new day to rejoice in God's salvation for you. That new day takes a new form in our life then, as Zechariah would explain. He has enabled us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. Because it's a new day, because we can see God's compassion and commitment in our life, we can now serve God with our life. Zechariah says, without fear. I'm going to put it positively in saying, with reverence. He was telling us we don't have to fear God. We don't have to do things, obey him, because, oh, if I don't, I know I'm going to get hammered. No. That type of slave fear is gone. Yes, I know in our catechisms when we teach the commandments to the kids, it says we should fear and love God that we, whatever. And I know that Solomon at the end of his life when he was looking for satisfaction said, here it is, fear God and keep his commands. But the fear that our catechism and Solomon was talking about was not this slave-like attitude of, I better do it or else I'm going to get hammered. No, it was this idea of reverence and respect and awe and thanksgiving for a God who has touched us with his compassion and his commitment. And so you and I can live our days now without that fear of God harming us, but to live with a sense of reverence and honor for a God who loves us, and then to carry out our lives in righteousness. We do so because that's the new status in which we live. That's the status that God has declared is ours. We are righteous through Jesus. Therefore, we will live righteous. Simply put, we're going to do what God wants us to do and not what I want to do. And Zechariah tells us what it is God wants us to do when he was referring to his own son. He said, "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins." You and I now have that opportunity to share the righteousness of God with others. That's our work. And we can do that rejoicing. There is no greater joy into life than to know you are doing God's will. And God's will is simply to share that grace with others. That's not just the job of pastors and teachers in Christian schools. It's the call that God has given to all of us to reach out and to touch people in our lives with those fingerprints of God, his compassion and his commitment. You know, we leave fingerprints all over. We probably don't think about it, but we do. Now, I know parents, we find fingerprints all over, right? On the walls, on the windows. But we leave our fingerprints everywhere we go. Can we leave the fingerprint of God as we go? Back in our entryway, you may have noticed for the past few months a paper tree that's been on the wall by the kitchen window, strategically placed there because that's where you go to get your coffee and lemonade and donuts. But the tree was there as a reminder of what our ministry is all about, the theme that we have for our ministry this year. Plant a seed and watch it grow. The seed is the word of God, and God has called us to water that word and then to watch the growth that he brings about. So we have put that tree there, and now we've started adding leaves, leaves that represent what we think are evidence of God's fruit and blessing on what's being produced as we water the seed of his word that we have planted. I just want to call your attention to it. When you go out there, just take a look at some of the things that are listed there. And keep watching during the course of this year how more leaves will be added. Evidence that you are serving God. That God is taking your offerings, he's taking your time and your talents, and he's using that to make his seed grow. And there is so much more we can do. Humanly speaking, we could never do enough. You know, some people ask once, well, how's the economy affecting the church? Well, sometimes we don't have enough money. We have to trim back our budget and such. But the work never stops. There is always plenty of work in the church. There is always more for us to do than, humanly speaking, we can do. But I know there is more that we can do. And so listen when those opportunities come up and we ask for people to help or when there are certain projects going on and see how God may move you with his touch in your life of his compassion and commitment to make that seed grow. Yeah, we leave our fingerprints all around. So let's be intentional to leave with our fingerprints the fingerprints of God, the touch of his compassion and commitment to save people in Jesus. Amen.